Didn't you just have a TikTok video that got like hundreds of thousands of views or something?
I'd say it's at 130,000 views.
What is it?
Cracker content of me talking about some crackers. But like, to me, that shit's disrespectful to get 130,000 or some shit like that. Like, yeah, that's great.
That's what, like, that's what fucking, if we live in Idiocracy now.
Yeah.
Yeah. People just like, want dude, to see like, the fucking Ritz crackers. You know, you've created all this amazing content, and it's the fucking Ritz crackers that gets 130,000 views.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, the one and only Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And joining me this evening, a return guest to the show, man, probably been my favorite guest that I've had on so far, because number one, this guy actually gambles, like he actually wagers on sports, and you can tell when people actually do and when they don't, and this guy's one of those people. He is a content creator, and I believe that he is the best independent content creator in the whole New Orleans market. So I'm very, very, very pleased to have on my show this evening Devin Snow from Hold the Mayo. Devin, what's up, brother? How you doing? Welcome back.
Hey man, it's like I said, man, pleasure and honor. I mean, it's just nice to come on another show, much less one I've been on before. Probably, dude, honestly, thinking back on a time ahead, I don't think I've ever been on another show.
So, have you been on traditional radio shows?
Man, I've called in, you know, but other than that, man, really, I've had a few guests on my show, like maybe four, like in the beginning.
Right.
And that was it, man. I remember we did our thing. You know, what was that?
Right.
I don't know how long, but maybe.
That was in November.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't think I've ever been on another podcast, bro. Oh, nope. I haven't.
Damn. Well, welcome back to the only other podcast you've ever been on. Well, that's the thing. Dude, you're a fucking one-man army, though. I mean, there's people. Like, you've got a universe, dude, and there's people that kind of float around in your universe. You've got planets and shit, but your universe is crazy. Like, hey. I love it. I enjoy it. I get a lot out of it. Like, I had friends turn me on to it, you know, like a year ago. And I mean, dude, as a content creator and a brand maker and the shit that just organically happens in your world, it's fucking awesome entertainment.
And dude, to be honest with you, that's why, and it's not that I'm not willing to, because more than ever I am, but that's why I haven't been on a lot of podcasts and shows like that. I'm so obsessed with like creating, you know, like storyline and whatever I've made, you know, and you know, unraveling that. What else can we get out of it? You know, more than anybody. I mean, I got a bunch of fucking space cadets.
You do.
They called a fucking show. So
The colors to the show, you know, are one thing, and it's almost like it reminds me of old school, like we talked about last time you're on the show, old school Howard Stern, or just like, I remember when Buddy D show had a cast of characters when I was like 10 years old.
Oh, look, dude, Buddy D, I mean, I grew up watching Howard Stern, grew up watching right. Buddy D, one with my dad, one with my stepdad, and yeah, no doubt, bro.
You've got a 21st century, a year 2021 problem. You got crazy motherfuckers that pop up in your DMs all the time. Like, 18 to 25 year old aggro dudes get fucked up and start hitting you up at like 2 o'clock in the morning with ideas on how to fucking, or they're going to be your next big thing.
Yeah. Cause that's the thing. Like, I kind of like invite it. I invite anybody that wants to take a shot. Right. But at the same time, it's like, dude, I'm so worn out on it. Like, it's been like fucking you know, 40, 50 guys who have said, yeah, you know, I'm your guy. I got this idea, blah, blah, blah. And they can't do it for longer than a week, 2 weeks. And that bothers me so much, man. I can't understand it. You know, look at how long you've done the podcast, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, there's so many people that go, I'm going to be the greatest at this ever. And they don't last 2 weeks.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, that's the main thing they can't take. And dude, I know it's going to happen every time. You have to be able to take failure for a while, unless you just blow away talent, bro. Like, and it's still going to take a few months of failure, man. You know,
I have never mentioned this on air on my show, but people that know me in real life or have known me for the last 15 years know this. I did stand up comedy for 7 years.
Dude, that
I was in the stand up comedy scene for 7 years, and it got to a level where I could do some still independent small bar show regional touring. But dude, at the beginning, you're so bad.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, it's terrifying. And you have to put it out there. That's the only way to do it, is repetition. So you can't just go and perform in front of nobody.
Right.
You know, like, you're not going to get better at podcasting without publishing podcasts. But these dudes fucking get loaded at 2 a.m. and go, I'm the greatest thing ever. I just haven't tried it yet, but here's my, you know, and it's like, oh, it's hilarious.
And the best part about it is I have a spot for those guys.
Yes.
Every show. I have a spot for those guys every show. Dude, get as loaded as a ham fucking sandwich and call my show, bro. And I invite you with open arms. But it's like, dude, like, everybody wants to, like, be the next rocket scientist. And I'm like, this ain't a rocket science business, to be honest with you. It's just, you got to do things for a long time and find what you like, man.
It's crazy. Like I said, I love your show. Again, and you'll, like, and it, when those guys get crazy aggressive, you'll, like, put them out there, you're like, hey, and it's not like you dox them or anything, you're like, dude, this is just fucking content, like, content. you've earned it,
and,
buddy,
and that's another way, bro, to see if somebody's head's in the game, man. Like, if they feel like that's personal or they take that the wrong way, that they're getting
they're
up on for content, then bro, I don't even want to, you know, I can't do nothing with you, man.
They're done.
Yes.
Well, the only thing, so like I said, as a fan of your show and as a fan of your content, the only thing to me, and it's a generational thing, because I'm 42. What are you? You're like 27 or something, right?
I'm 29.
29. Oh, you're almost there.
Yeah, I got almost a year left to figure out if I'm going to smoke cigarettes forever or not.
Oh, dude. Good luck. I'll quit. If you quit, I'll quit. I'll quit with you. We'll do it like buddies. We'll hold each other's hand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty bad habit to have at this point, but I go give them $8 every day. Let's go.
Oh, especially now, like you said, at this point,
it's eight bucks.
Yeah, I think, and for many reasons too. Also, like, look at the world, bro. The world is so, like, I hate to say it, but like, as fucking crazy as the world is, they're healthy, and you know, everything's healthy now. Like,
but what's fucked up is that I still smoke. I'm getting healthy in every other aspect of my life. Since I started this podcast, I've lost 50 pounds.
Dude, you look good, man.
Yeah, I've grown a mullet, fucking lost 50 pounds. I mean, I exercise. I eat like a fucking scientist now. Like, okay. I understand from exercising, from, like, I bought a really expensive bike, you know, and I'm like, you're going to ride this some bitch.
Yeah.
You
know,
like, you spent this money on it, you're going to ride. I ride like 40 miles a week now, you know.
That'll do it, bro. Like, running and riding, bro. Like, that shit, yeah, like, is, like, proven, bro. And especially, like, dude, honestly, I got this punching bag in my living room right now, and it's a fucking shame, because, like, all I need is the stand, bro, and I'm, like, the next Wahlberg, you know? Right. Like, right. It's just, I need to get the stand. It's a $100 stand. It's a rare piece, you know, if you're looking for it, use. So it's been sitting in my
room. I'm not going to punch things. I'm not going to, but thank you. I appreciate it.
The cardio, man.
Cardio. I love cardio. I'm like a Diaz brother out there on the bicycle, bro.
Yeah, man.
You know,
yeah.
I go behind the garage and then I, you know, fire one up and I get on my bike and, dude, it's great. Yeah. And what, I'm at a different age, bro. Like I said, you're 29, prime condition. The only thing that's different about my show, or the part that I don't get to your show, is there is an age difference. It's like you're the primary dudes in your audience, bro, being 12 years younger than what I am, right? It's a big difference.
It's funny.
It's generational. Like, a generation is literally 13 years, and we're 13 years apart.
Yeah, it's funny to, well, you know, and I'm not even trying to, like, slap my own ass here, but thank God for me, dude, or you wouldn't be watching this show, because I'm a nostalgist. Like, I love old-time shit, you know, like, 90s and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of those viewers, man, they, that, and that's, that's what makes the show, right? Those guys are kind of oblivious to a lot of topics and stuff like that that I bring up often, man. Like, dude, there was a guy that called the other night, never played Grand Theft Auto, bro.
What?
Never played Grand Theft Auto. Joe Show, never played Grand Theft
was
Auto.
Was he one of those people that lives in like an abandoned storage container in Utah?
Dude, that's these kids from North Shore. Might as well be Utah. That's these kids from the North Shore. They didn't play Grand Theft Auto.
I live amongst these people, dude. I'm in the most Mandevillest part of Mandeville, bro. Wow. It's over the top. Look, over the top.
My dad wasn't like he wasn't, you know, excited that I was playing Grand Theft Auto, but it couldn't be denied. You know, like it's just. Yeah. Not playing Grand Theft Auto to me is like I said, man, it's like never going to Walmart.
Yeah, I've caught 8-year-old children playing Grand Theft Auto in my house that were my children.
Yeah, no doubt. So,
well, dude, I'm gonna be that 3 a.m. drunk guy. Let me come blog for you.
Yeah.
Let me write some blogs.
You can write some blogs for me, man. Just as long as you write them and keep writing them, I think great things will happen, man. If you write a few and it just seems like a desert, then more than likely it's gonna feel like a desert, you know. So
all right, I think there's a part of your audience that's already there. It's just like dudes my age.
Dude, if you wrote blogs about fucking rock music, and I'm just bringing this up, mm-hmm. but if you wrote blogs about rock music and you wrote one blog a week about rock music and it was like featuring like blogs about Kiss, fucking AC/DC, you know, all this shit, like that would hit.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing it in Louisiana. Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, if you listen to my show, I've got all this rock music playing in the background.
Exactly.
Rock music. That's you know, it's.
Like, dude, you ever seen that movie, Detroit Rock City?
That's a great movie. Yes. I spent a lot of time in college watching that movie.
So it came out what, in like the late 90s, early 2000s?
It came out in the late 90s. It was probably just right around 99 or so. Yeah.
Dude, so that movie, man, like I used to stay home a lot from school in elementary because my mom was just doing, you know, some wild things and I didn't have no ride to school. And right, fucking, right. So... I'd be home watching a bunch of movies and shit. And I used to watch shit like that. And I was so young. But, dude, that's what got me into, like, historic rock music, bro. Like, that movie right there. It just, like, Kiss and look. I mean, going back as far as, like, AC/DC and even before that, dude. Like, even, like, not even rock. The Bee Gees and shit like that.
I'm on it. We'll talk about rock music in my blog over at HTM Sports.
Yeah, HTMSports.com.
There you go. Billy Gunn coming soon to an HTMSports.com near you. And that's the last thing I want to say, you know, before I stop kissing your ass. You're a hustler, dude. You work. You don't slow down. And you and I both have a similar shared background coming from a similar business that we used to work in. And you know as well as I know, hustlers never lose.
Hey, man. Yeah. And you know it too, like with the whole... from hero to zero. So every day, you know, you gotta get it.
That shit's gonna reset.
Yeah, and that's how you gotta view this industry. If you view it like that, man, you'll do really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, look, man, we got a full show tonight. I've become a news source to people getting information about sports wagering in Louisiana and like when it's gonna start and what it looked like, because there's a vacuum. There's been an emptiness there. And somehow this crazy fucking podcast where I talk about aliens and alpacas and weed and gambling is now like a reputable news source that people are coming to. So I got some sports book news. Yeah. I reached out to Louisiana Gaming Control Board last week and emailed them and they wrote me back in 22 minutes and they were like, hey, we're meeting next week. Go find the link and you can watch it. And so I did. And the Louisiana Gaming Control Board met today to discuss sports gambling, amongst several other things. Fascinating meetings. One thing that I saw today, Devin, was that they announced that $32 million in taxes and fees last month is what they made.
Okay.
The state made.
Okay.
From regular gambling. They just like before they started talking about the sports wagering shit, they had to get through like old business and new business, da 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 da. And, like, it's an official.
Yeah, they got
to
get through how much reports. They made on taxes.
Yes.
Fucking right. Of course. Why would they talk about anything else before they started talking about how much they made on taxes?
But a little light bulb went off in my head when I heard that number, right? And it kind of influenced and it painted everything else that my approach to what's happening with this. So they met today. They considered a bunch of emergency consideration of, they basically wrote all the more finely tuned laws about it. You know, it got approved at this level and then the legislature put their hands on it. And now like the board that's going to govern is finally tuning it. And so they put their touches. What they ended up doing, you had the regulators like the state police and the gaming control board. They've been meeting with the major gambling people like behind the scenes for a long time now to help get this ready. So right. They're all on the same team and everybody has an interest in making this shit happen. Initially, when they first, you know, when it passed in the legislature, everybody's like, gambling's gonna be ready in time for opening kickoff September 9th, that Thursday night game, right? And then it was like, oh, then the chairman resigned under unscrupulous terms and this and that. And is it going to happen in time? Oh, maybe it'll be in time for bowl season. And everybody's been running around going, oh, this shit might be here in time for bowl season.
Right.
And I'm trying to get to the bottom of, when's it actually going to be here?
Yeah. When can I wake up, take a shit and play some bets legally, bro? That's what we want to know.
Without driving to Mississippi?
Yeah. Without driving to Mississippi.
Without calling your great uncle that manufactures books?
Correct.
If you listen to what the legacy media is saying, they are saying that the best case scenario is going to be mid-September. You'll be able to walk into like a retail, like a casino itself. So you can go to Baton Rouge, you can go to Harris, you can go to the boats, and they will have a sportsbook area. Some of the folks in the legacy media are saying mid-September, so not in time for that. And they're saying, oh, and the apps aren't even close. The apps
see how this is all gonna turn
these
out,
people
right?
Don't so, get it these are yeah, the but, people that don't get it that are writing the articles. You know what they don't get? This ain't DraftKings first fucking rodeo.
Yeah, dude,
this ain't FanDuel's first rodeo.
And
this ain't the big Barstool, the company, yeah. Penn Gaming that owns
all
Barstool,
the apps are gonna
first
be ready.
This is what they do. Yeah. And they've already been meeting with the fucking, they've already been meeting with the regulators.
Yeah, their apps are going to be ready, bro.
They're going to be ready. Yeah. They're going to be ready. And they passed these emergency rules today that go into effect Monday so they can start taking and processing licenses.
Yeah, see, I don't, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Like, I like talking about this because, you know, I know a lot about it, but I also don't like talking about it too because it pisses me the fuck off because essentially what's going on is they are handing out the licenses to whoever they want to hand the licenses out to, talking about the state of Louisiana, okay? Oh, yeah. And these companies that are coming in, like Barstool, FanDuel, or whatever the fuck, DraftKings and all this shit, Caesars. They are going to come in and clean house. Mm-hmm. By these dudes down here, like Harris and all this shit, are trying to get their shit together because they haven't evolved with the times, and Barstool and DraftKings and all these guys have. Like, they have.
They're ready. They're like, they've got to pass a background. The state police are going to have to look at everybody on their board's background. Oh, you don't think that hasn't happened 17 times already? Right. In the other 17 states that they're in now?
And that's why they shouldn't control the licenses like they're going to be controlling these licenses. And they should let people fucking who have the money and have the experience pay the money to get the licenses and start books, bro. Like, this is
$500,000 for, they want $500,000.
So, and guess what, bro? There's some folks out there.
I know, but I'm not done. They want $500,000. They want you to show them the infrastructure. And you also have to show them that you can geofence, because that stupid 13 parishes or 9 parishes, whatever the fuck it is, you know, for the app-based stuff. They want you to, and so that's where your FanDuels and your DraftKings, they all just, this is what they do.
Yeah, so you're going to let people come in here that aren't from the state and make all the money. That's mm-hmm. That's a problem with it. Mm-hmm.
So let's say this is probably the last full month that you can't bet on sports in Louisiana. Until starting next month. So they, $32 million is what they took in. How much you think that's going to go up when the sports gambling gets here?
Well, I mean, yeah, they're going to
you think it's going to double?
I mean, at least.
And then people want to act like this shit's not going to be ready for September 9th.
And I want to be, dude, I want to be clear on what I'm saying about they're going to come in and make all the money. They're going to get the first shot to make all the money. Okay. And I understand that that comes back to the state and everything like that, but it's still not, dude, it's not the way that I just personally would do it. I would have local companies doing it, bro. That's who's getting the money first. That's who's making the apps. And all these other people can come down here and compete with us.
They don't even toss locals like a crumb on this. There's not even like not even written into it. It's like, oh, you get 25% of it has to be local,
right?
Because you could do that, right? And the big dogs would still be like, okay,
and let them and see what I'm saying, dude. That's
well, these rules that passed, by the way, Devin, these are not final. These are emergency rules, and there will be public input before the real rules hatch. I think you and I should go to Baton Rouge one day, take a field trip.
Oh, I'm down.
Before they write the real rules, go like, hey. How about you take? How are you taking care of local people,
bro? I know you see me on Twitter, bro. I'm asking it every day.
Yes. Well, it's time to start asking, and we're gonna have a chance to go. I mean, like they will have public input. They have to face us before these rules go final. These rules are in emergency status. They're good for 180 days. They're not law yet. They're going to have a public hearing and go through all these hoops before they do. And we could honestly go, hey. You got to carve some of this out for like local Louisiana-based shit.
Yeah, and they're gonna be like, "Where's your structure?" And I'm gonna be like, "I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. Y'all been discouraging me."
I'm gonna use whoever structure. Barstool. You think they all have proprietary software? We can buy. I mean, we can get access.
Oh,
to
Oh, bro,
it.
I know enough stoner nerds to yeah, bro.
We'll write our own platform. We'll write our own app.
That's yeah, and I don't
that's actually
come
not
off,
out of the question. You know what? Yeah. That's not out of the question.
I don't want to come off dreamy or nothing like that, bro. No, but like this. For real, like I'm just being honest. Like that's bullshit that they really dead ass like just let that shit happen. I don't even know if they realize like what it means to some people, man. Like that means something.
I'm writing down that my first blog is going to be about how Devin and Gunn lobby. The state legislature.
Yeah, it's just a dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gaming control board.
Yeah, I'm a shit politician. I do state just facts when it comes to the things I really like, and I really like to gamble.
Oh, I know a little bit about politics, but I don't like to talk about it because politics sucks. But this shit sucks. It's gross. It's gross, man. How they fleece.
Same thing with the weed.
And we're over here getting all excited about a morsel. Oh, hopefully it'll be here when they said it was going to be here, when it makes logical sense for it to be here. Please, please, government, make it happen.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even think about it, bro. I just fucking gamble and smoke weed because guess what? That's the two things that they refuse to like do a human like, you know, human pace on. Come on, I mean, look, how long ago did Colorado legalize weed, bro? And how many?
It's been a long time. It's been real long. I mean, I sit here. I'm a Louisiana medical patient, so it was weird. Like the day that happened, I felt like I'd been baptized or something. Yeah. Like I was like, oh, I went from a criminal to a patient.
Bro, how many places in the state of Louisiana have a license to grow weed? One.
Well, there's two. There's one at LSU and there's one at Southern. So there's two licenses there. Where if you got angry about local bookies not being able to get involved, you're gonna get sick when I tell you that when they legalized medical marijuana in Louisiana, the thing was who they give the pharmacies to. There were seven pharmacies. It's like seven or nine pharmacy licenses. There's supposed to be two in every congressional district, but that doesn't add up. My math is horrible. But there's something like seven, right? And I'm fortunate that there's one near me. But you want to talk about good old boy system?
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard.
Oh, my God. And there can only be seven of them?
Yeah,
it's a beautiful look. I don't even want to disparage. Like, I think I enjoy my local friendly people. They run a beautiful pharmacy. Pharmacist helped me. The pharmacist taught me something. He taught me about eating. He's like, I was like, you know, I notice when I take edibles that if I eat, you know, like it just boom to the moon, right? And he goes, high fat foods. Eat fatty foods. That's what the pharmacist told me. He had a little lab coat on. He's an actual pharmacist. This guy went to pharmacy school. He goes, eat fatty foods. Yeah. So I take my tincture and I eat some bacon, you know?
Yeah. I guess the thing is with that, you know, like how maybe some of these like your pharmacy or whatever, maybe they getting buds in medicine from different places other than just, you know, that grow up out in at LSU? Because I heard that the stuff that they're growing out there, bro, it's just like the people you said, like there's only a few of them, you know, like just kind of like some dudes that don't really know what's chronic, bro, you know, what some stank is, you know, some medical stank, bro.
As it's been right, or as it is right now, they're allowed to do tinctures, gummies, and vape pens, right?
Oil, yeah.
And the law passed this past year, and it will go into effect January 1 of next year, where they can do flower. And yeah, you can buy flower there.
That's what I heard. I heard that like the shatter and stuff, like it's not light, it's dark stuff, you know, like that's just from somebody that you know has been going, that has a card that I talk to, bro.
My place has the I like the tincture. And I like the, I just got a man vape, you know, a vape pen.
Okay, nice.
Thank you, LSU Ag Center. It's beautiful.
I mean, it's still, yeah. Yeah, it's tight that I can't wait until we just evolve, man.
And it's like, the fact that there's criminality, like I had to get medically diagnosed and pay money pay more to do it legally than somebody who's doing it criminally. That's just, right. The biggest absurdity in the world. But the pharmacies are beautiful. I love my local place. I love everything. It's really been helpful for me.
That's good, man. I'm very excited for you, man. Because like I'm, you know, even since I was a young kid with no mind, man, I always believed that THC, man. THC, something about that THC, man.
Well, it's like when early in life you felt like an outlaw for doing it, and then one day you go, "This really helps me." And then they start changing the laws, and everybody, like, your argument the whole time was right. Like, it's just silly.
Yeah, I remember that first stint of smoking pot, man, like when I was like fucking 13.
Early. You know, yeah.
That first month or two, I felt really guilty, like, you know, such a bad kid, you know, like,
yeah.
And then, really, dude, once I got to college, really. For real. Because, I mean, high school kind of flew by once I started smoking pot. I'm going to be honest
with
you.
Right. Right.
It just did.
Yeah. Same team.
It's crazy, huh? Like,
Yeah.
But, yeah, once I got to college, I started really embracing what pot was doing for me, man. Like, for real. Even when I was, like, I had some stumbles and I, you know, went to jail for a couple of nights or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I came back home, man. Pot was the first thing. I was just like, man, I'm so grateful to be able to smoke you, man. It's just... I don't know.
Well, it's weird because I remember like being in college speech class, and you know, you're a sophomore in college, and all of a sudden, like, you're super passionate about marijuana. Like, you know, I wasn't. You're writing your fucking speeches in speech class about weed, you know, and like, professor's just this old conservative dude shaking his head. But it's like, what's funny is my parents' generation, they're starting to act like those college sophomores. Like giddy, yeah, excited, cool. About weed, giddy, excited, yeah. About, because it's helping them, because it's easing their pain and their suffering.
Well, awesome.
And it was, yeah, something that they were programmed their entire lives to think was bad and evil. And they're acknowledging at a very late part in life that it's not.
What a win.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And it's beautiful. It's actually a very, very beautiful thing.
It really is like so like meaningful, like, to make like that is just the clarity in that at the end of the life is, that's awesome.
You get wiser as you get older, man. You know, I mean, and then you meet like really unwise old people and you go, man, that person's just fucking lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Did you hear about the New Orleans being the number one ranked drinking city of all NFL teams? NFL fans who spend the most money on alcohol spend it at the New Orleans Superdome, an average of $64.81 for their party.
That, I'm gonna be honest with you, that number right there, that is so in the money.
I used to be a huge alcoholic, and when I would go, if I was getting down, it's gonna be an $80-100 day.
Yo, if I can spend 64,
that feels fair, right?
We are fair.
Yeah. That's, I guess that's the average, though. They're averaging people that drink and don't drink.
I'm excited about this analytic. I'm excited about this analytic. I'm going to be honest with you.
Had you heard about this before?
No, I'm okay. I'm not.
Oh, dude. All right. Yeah. Huh? The Saints are number one, $64.81. New England Patriots are second, $60.81. I mean, we had a $4 advantage on the Patriots in second place. The Buffalo Bills, now those motherfuckers get down. Bills but fans always, drink, yeah. right?
Always
they were yeah. 29 cents lower than the Patriots, so there's like a bottleneck there.
Yeah, I always said about those Buffalo fans, I think that New Orleans fans are just as crazy. I just think that Buffalo's better on social media. I've always said that because I've gotten into a 100, 200 Buffalo Bill fan thread war at night where every Saints fan was night-night. Couldn't get a Saints fan to back me up on Twitter.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It sucks. Bills fans are nuts.
They're nuts.
The next team on this list is the Texans at $59.23. They're a little more than a dollar behind the Bills. Then you got the LA Rams, $55 even. Interesting. They probably don't even use a spare change over there.
That's a weird one for me, that last one, the LA Rams.
I feel it'd be disgusting to go to an LA Rams game.
I would never go.
I feel like it'd be disgusting.
Yeah, I would sit outside the stadium on that one, but you better take me to the Hollywood Stars.
I've got a stupid. I want you to tell me how. I mean, you're an experienced gambler, right? It's fair to say, just for our audience that doesn't remember, Devin Betts, and Devin's good. Devin's very fucking good. Devin's really good at UFC.
I've really been playing with lately.
Well, if you've got anything for the UFC on ESPN, let me know, dude. Because I look at that card, I got nothing. I got nothing for that card.
I haven't put anything like out, in public or nothing like that. But I looked at it early this morning, and then I looked at it before I got on here. And I can tell you right now, like this, the main event, like the actual, the Gastelum versus
Cannonier.
Cannonier. So I would just go ahead and say that 150 favorite on Cannonier, I would just take that. As much as I fucking love Calvin Gastelum.
I do too.
I hate doing this, and I keep having to do it. And he actually proved me wrong his last time out, because I stopped taking Gastelum two fights ago.
Okay, I remember where I was the night he won the Ultimate Fighter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and yeah, like you said, you got to kind of get away from him now. There's sentiment there, but dude, he's old. I mean, he's got some miles,
And Cannonier, he ain't nothing that everybody all over the internet's talking about, but like he could have that night with Gastelum. And I hate to say it, man, because Gastelum's really not a guy. He don't get knocked out a lot and shit like that. Like, this could be Cannonier's night. I'm taking Cannonier 150 favorite on that for sure.
All right. How foolish do you think teasers are? In sports gambling,
talking about eight years, I've never done them. Never.
I have a weak spot. I have a soft spot for the four. Yeah, it's a four bet mandatory. So you have four games or four totals. 13 points though, you get to move the line 13 points.
Scratch that. I did some teases for NBA when they were in the bubble.
No. NBA teasers, I stay away from those, but I love me some NFL teasers. Traditional teasers are like 6 points, 6.5. You get these stupid gimmick teasers, and this is like, it's minus 125 for a four-way 13-point teaser. And what I noticed in the preseason, now week one is behind us in the preseason, I watched all the games, dude. I watched all of them. These unders were hitting.
Yeah, they were.
Because it's just, it's like drinking spoiled milk, bro. It's not milk. It's not football. It's preseason. Yeah. But right. I'm such a degenerate. I love to gamble on it. But I feel like the bookmakers are making some mistakes. And then when I think you get to amplify that with 13-point movement, right. I feel like I can find at least three totals to add 13 points to and then take the under. And then I also bet one game where I moved the Bengals from getting 5.5 points to getting 18.5 points.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm agreeing with you, no doubt, dude. Like something about the preseason with the makers, like they're like smoking crack and they're just all over the place. And dude, yeah, I haven't had an opportunity to really like take advantage of that, man, because I've been so busy lately, bro. But like, I want to get in this weekend, hit some preseason snags if they still got some sitting there. Because I heard people talking about if Pittsburgh was a plus what 425 the other night.
Oh plus, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you take?
There's one game this week. There's one game in week two that I got a good read on, and we hurt the Ravens quarterback. Old boy hurt the Ravens quarterback. Hansen or whatever.
McSorley, yeah.
Yeah, McSorley. Oh,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it from us, right?
Right, right.
So the Ravens, they're signing people, you know, a guy, their guy that bounces back and forth between the practice squad and the street to come play quarterback. And so the Ravens are playing the Panthers this week.
Ooh.
And the Panthers are getting 3.5 points.
Shut up. What is their money line?
Minus 120. Now it's a little bit juiced because they know how good it is. The Panthers plus 3.5 over the Ravens.
Well, so what are they? A plus 120?
Plus they're minus 120.
Oh, the Panthers are?
Yes.
Oh, so they're 3.5 point favorites.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say, dude, yeah, I'm all over the Panthers right there.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
no, I mean, have a quarterback.
Yeah, so, but 125, man, shit, bro, I was hoping better than that, dude. Like, come on, man. Like, I was thinking, like, maybe they still kind of juicing on the Ravens defense or something like that. Maybe that would be at least a pick 'em or something like that. You know, maybe.
No, it's minus 120. They're fucking with it. They know you're coming for it. They're trying to protect.
I'd lay 100, like straight up. Not even thinking I'd lay 100.
They're trying to protect it from the smart people.
Yeah.
They're trying to protect it from us.
Right. Because, dude, I got so many players I'm watching on Carolina, too, bro. Like Terrace Marshall and shit, dude. Like, I hate to say it, bro. The only problem they really have is the quarterback. You ain't going to get through a full season, get to the playoffs with a cat like that, man. It's just facts.
Talking about, yeah.
Sam Darnold.
Yes, thank you.
That dude's, I mean, that's not a playoff quarterback, bro. Period.
I'm guilty of saying this a lot. I'm going to repeat myself. The coaching guru they have in Carolina, Matt Rhule, right?
Yeah.
Bro, that guy hasn't proven anything. That guy is 1 year away from the street.
Hey, and even if he's a great coach, even if he turns out to be a great coach this year, guess what, bro? Sam Darnold is not a – he's not a 17-game quarterback into the playoffs. We taking Sam Darnold to Super Bowl. Doesn't it just suck to have to just look at it like that sometimes? Like, Sam Darnold, he ain't going to the Super Bowl.
I've been watching these guys since they got to Carolina, and I'm like, man, I think they're frauds. I think they're frauds. I think they're frauds. And then they make this decision in the offseason. They're like, nope. We want let's get Teddy out of here. We want Sam Darnold.
Right.
Sam Darnold. That's like, okay. Man. Getting rid of Teddy is one thing. And then you're like, all right, we're gonna go find a quarterback. And you go, Sam Darnold. That's our guy. Dude. That's our fucking guy.
Right.
I've watched like, a lot of Sam Darnold as a gambler.
They just working a job, bro, over that, dude. That's all they doing. Working a job. Imagine like clocking in and clocking out. Because guess what, bro? That job ain't going to the big show, bro. The big vacation, man. The Super Bowl. Ain't no way.
I want to pick. I picked the five shittiest teams in the NFL.
They in them.
This year. Coming. Oh, you think the Panthers are in there?
Fucking right.
Well, Vegas disagrees. We could take a look at the Panthers, too. But I grabbed the five lowest ones. And we're going to guess there. We're going to give some advice on their win totals. So how many games in the 17-game regular season are the following teams going to win? We're going to start with Joe Burrow in the Cincinnati Bengals. They're at 6.5.
I mean,
under is juiced to 120, minus 120.
I would take the under in that.
What's going on with Burrow?
I'm not saying anything like bad's going on with Burrow. I heard the news about him, like, you know, mentally or whatever was going on. Like, as far as, like, he's just not, what did they say? He's just not seeing it. But I mean, I just think overall, like, the Bengals, they didn't do what they had to do offensive line wise, to, you know, make it through full season. I mean, dude, you look at Cleveland, man. Look what happens when those guys start getting, you know, beat up, all injuries and shit like that. It turns a really good looking squad into a very mediocre, you know, flawed squad. And guess what? The Bengals, though they have drafted well, they are still not as talented as, like, what you look at when you look on paper at the Browns, you know?
Right.
So all it takes is a few injuries, man, and just a mediocre ball club, bro. I would take the under in that.
Bengals are a team that I don't even when Burrow got there last year, I started paying a little more attention to him, but I've just never, if I'm in front of multiple screens, I'm just not looking at the Bengals that much.
Yeah.
I never read them well, just, you know, and I have friends that love the Bengals, dude, but I can't get down with it. Now the next team, this team, Dan Campbell's crazy ass in the Detroit Lions, it's at 5. And now the under, before you say anything, the under is juiced to -140.
You know, it's 5, you said flat?
5 flat.
Yeah, I would take the over in that. Straight up.
I want to say they looked decent the other night.
You're talking about a quarterback who is a more than average quarterback. He's more than average. He's a little
they
bit
lost
more than
that
average.
Trade so bad, though.
Oh, no doubt. But he's still, like, he's got enough experience to, like, he ain't. Look, man, I think 5 games, bro. You know what I'm saying? 5 yeah. games. Like, I would take. And what is the odds on that? Over 5?
Over's going to. Over's even.
Yeah, I mean, they won 5 last year. What did they win the year before that? I mean, the Lions have been historically just a bland trash club for so long. It's just like, dude, how many times did they win over 5 games? I'd guess quite a few. Yeah, I can tell you right now. But I'd take the over in that, bro.
We love it when people take the over on this show. It's like, yeah. it's kind of the thing. And I feel like I'm straying away from the from my rule this year, but I don't know. I mean, I don't feel bad about teasing the totals up 13 points and then taking the under in preseason. I feel like I'm winning, you know.
Yeah, dude, definitely. Especially in none of your moves truly define you in preseason.
It was gambling. Oh, that's true. It's preseason for me too.
That's right, man.
We're gonna be tracking everything come regular season. I'm gonna use one of those
on
apps.
Who's getting- Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to track me. I'm going to have to track my cat. My cat's making picks. I'm going to film them and post them to Twitter. It's going to go viral. I'll sell you shares in that.
I'd say for sure over, and I would actually, that Lions one's probably my favorite one you said.
Well, next is my favorite one. This one is my favorite, and it's the Texans. And it's the Texans. 4 flat, the under is juiced to -120.
I would take the under in that.
I would too. As much as I hate to say, as much as it chills me to my bones, I'd take the under. The Texans are going to be historically bad. Bro, your boy should be in jail for what he fucking did to that football team.
Well, it looks like he's walking around stressed out, so I guess time will tell. But
I'm not talking about Deshaun Watson.
Oh, okay. I'm
talking about the former head coach.
I'm talking about
the dude who should be selling Cutco knives right now that used to have Bill O'Brien. Is it O'Brien?
Yeah, Bill O'Brien's. Yeah, he'll never.
I wasn't talking about Deshaun. I love Deshaun, dude. I'm brother in solid. I love Deshaun. Dude,
my mind was instantly on massage.
You instantly went to Deshaun? I was talking about Bill O'Brien.
No, yeah, I don't think
he should be in jail. Bill O'Brien should be in jail. Fuck no, Deshaun Watson shouldn't be in jail.
No,
Bill O'Brien should.
Bill O'Brien, should have been gone like 6 years before they let him go, dude. It was like
horrible. And he just had a fire sale. He just gave everything away for nothing in return.
Yeah.
For like two or three consecutive years. It's almost like the other GMs in the league would be like, hey, bro, don't like, who's going to get to take advantage of him first? Who's going to be the quickest one to like fuck him over?
Yeah. It's almost like he was getting fucked up at night and calling GMs and making just absurd trades.
It's not like that shit doesn't actually happen. You know what I mean? People get fucked up and do crazy things.
Man,
Bill O'Brien might have been one of them. He looks the part. He looks the part. The Jacksonville Jags, they're at 6.5.
Ooh.
The under is -125. Got a little juice on the under.
I would definitely go with the under on that.
That's a lot. Six and a half is a lot.
First of all, let me start off by saying this. I wouldn't play that bet.
No, I wouldn't either. I'm not fucking with that one. We don't. I mean, I wouldn't expect to fuck with any. I do feel compelled to fuck with the Texans ones, and you felt pretty strong about the Lions ones. I'm believing you're probably gonna be doing the Lions on.
I like the Lions one a lot. That's disrespectful to that Detroit Lions organization.
Dan Campbell's fucking loony toony, dude.
Yeah, man. Let's go, man. I'm in on Dan, man.
I'm out on watching the Jags. The Jets are such hot garbage. They're at 6.5. And it's -110 either way.
Oh my God. Bro, dude, that is a fucking under, bro. That is an under. The audacity of them to put 6 games on the Jets like that. See, that's what I'm talking about, bro.
Does the 17 game thing fuck with you at all? Because like it's a unprecedented new wrinkle.
Look, that's what I'm talking about, man. That shit is biased as fuck, bro. Like, there ain't no earthly way that you could put the Jets at 6 games, bro. For what? Like, well, where did they do that line at? That's stupid, bro. The Lions at 4.
Lions are at 5.
I would take the Lions 100 games in a row over the Jets, dude. Come on, man.
This is how I pick games. You throw them in a bag, and then you go, which one am I nuts about? And which one of them I'm like, I don't even want to fuck with that. Which one of them you're like, oh, compared to this other one, what we're doing is what all the smart, super, you know, I'm a system guy. I use systems to pick my games. Yeah, I use a system too. I pick the fucking ones that make sense.
Yeah.
This Lions makes sense.
The Lions and for me, man, that Jets is just blowing me away.
What do you think about the Saints? They're now at 9.5.
I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just here for the ride with the Saints, dude.
You don't even want to think about how many games the Saints are going to win?
Dude, I might get out of the season without like even betting on the Saints this year, dude.
Okay, did you hear about my big bet? The one that everybody's getting in on. I've got people fucking texting me, DMing me.
Wait, what is it?
Jameis Winston is +5,500.
Fucking A.
At Barstool with Barstool's book, which they have at the IP.
Yeah.
The IP is a Barstool book, and I'm sorry, not Barstool. It's FanDuel. FanDuel. It's a FanDuel book. Barstool is the.
LaBerge.
Same. No. Well, yeah, it's LaBerge. It's going to be LaBerge. There's one on the coast too, but it's not important because the one that we like is the FanDuel. And FanDuel has Jameis at +5,500 to lead the league in regular season passing yards.
Wow, that's an incredible bet. No, it is. Like, dude, that's incredible.
That's the bet.
Yeah, fucking. I can go do that right now.
Mm hmm. No, I mean, you can go to Mississippi and do it. Yeah.
No, see, dude,
I don't trust that they're going to get here in time for September 9th enough that I'm going to wait for that. I'm going to make a trip to Mississippi, and I've got friends Venmoing me money to put it down for them too.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting in on this bet, and all Saints season long, whether they're winning, whether they're losing, you're just going, Jameis, let's throw some fucking passing yards, buddy. Come on, brother. We got
it. I'm all about it. I like a lot of Jameis props. You know, I like any, like, if you got a few dollars, man, I like the idea of maybe even Jameis, like, you know, what's the MVP odds, bro? What if just like something crazy happened, bro? You know, like he got $60, put 30 on Jameis won an MVP. What is it?
You know, the last time he played quarterback full time, he led the league in this stat.
Yardage.
Yeah. He won the title that year in yardage.
Well, him and Roethlisberger were tied, huh?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So yeah, they weren't?
Mm-mm. I don't know. I'm making now I'm sticking to a lie. I said no.
Yeah, no. It was the year he had all the interceptions. Like, yeah. But yeah,
it was 2019.
Mm-hmm. I'm all, dude, look, I don't think that they're going to let him get that loose, but I think that only enhances his chance to win an MVP. Dude, all I'm saying is this, man. If Jameis Winston wins games this year, let's say we start off and somehow we start off with a 3-0, 4-0 streak, right? When's the last time we did that, first of all? I'd like to know that. When's the last time?
No, we're not. I think it's going to be a very ugly start.
Oh, but what if it isn't? Then.
Our defense is going to be good. I think our front seven's fucking awesome.
Yeah. If we could somehow sneak out those first I know they're going to be tough games in the beginning, like 3 or 4, then you got Jameis with a prime opportunity to be like an MVP-type candidate. You see what I'm saying? Because then the Saints are winning. Then it's a story, and a story can win an MVP, baby. And we all know that because Drew Brees never won an MVP. He just went out there and did his job, bro.
His comeback player of the year odds are like, they're not. He's like the favorite. He's like the second or third favorite in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's it. That's all I've got, man. I don't have any more gambling talk in me. Is there anything gambling related that you wanted to make sure that we got in that we didn't?
Gambling wise, no, but I got a lot coming up. Just like, I mean, I guess check me at www.htmsports.com. I'm about to really like get on my wages, especially, you know, UFC's kind of settling down. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good time for me to like get into my Mayo spreads for football, man. You know, yeah, man, I'll be there the whole year, dude. Riding a tail with the NFL. You know, I love the college too, bro. I gotta be honest with you. Like, I made a lot of good picks, good calls on college last year, maybe more so than NFL, with teams like Boston College and shit like that, bro. Like, you know, teams that are always in it, man. It's kind of sometimes you'll see them in college football better than what you will in NFL.
I'm gonna get involved with college football a little bit, I think, this year. It's inevitable, you know. I don't think I hit it as much as you do, but like I'm gonna lean into it a little bit this year.
As long as you stay away from Michigan. And teams, you know, like Notre Dame, Michigan, yeah. All those teams, you'll be fine, man. You'll have a good time.
I'll probably spend some time with the SEC, you know?
Yeah, man. That you have some good time with that.
Well, dude, yeah, everybody, you know, please do owe it to yourself to go hit up Devin at all of his, you know, platforms. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. You know, he's htmsports.com. It's like when I go, am I going to find Devin? I just go hold the Mayo or HTM Sports into any platform and you come up, you know.
And but I didn't realize we were getting the fuck out of here. Yeah, I do want to say, man, if there's one thing I could ask for anybody that's listening, you know, my podcast, HTM Undress, which is just Hold the Mayo Undress, but HTM Undress, it's on Apple, Spotify, and Pandora. If you want to check it out and if you do like it, man, subscribe because, you know, I know in you the same way. I'm all about those audio listens, man. Mm-hmm. I like the app because like, nobody's doing it in Louisiana, bro. Like nobody believes in it, you know. And I always have, bro, since day one, man. So
it's the best. I've always been a podcast fan.
Yes,
you know, podcast, and it to me, that podcast, straight podcast, traditional audio podcast download, and that's the only way that I distribute this show. You know, I mean, you've done a lot. You've done a lot with streaming. You've done a lot with live streaming.
Well,
you know,
my podcast is it's a show, bro. But you know, I still like the idea of being able to take my show, right, and then put it into an audio version. You know what I'm saying? It's just mm-hmm. something about it, man. Like I get to put my tunes in there, man. I get to, you know, put my best parts in the beginning and say, it's just, and then you're able to kind of like, you know, get it more creative storylining wise and stuff like that. Flashbacks, whatever you got to do, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, man. Like I said, thanks for coming on again. It's always a blast. I always enjoy having you come on. Like I appreciate, you know, you've kind of given me some advice and shit behind the scenes. I appreciate all that. And,
Man, I'm gonna write some fucking blogs for you. This is a momentous occasion.
Yeah, man,
it's a big deal.
We'll definitely get that cooking up, bro. And that just takes like a few minutes for me to set up. So I'll do it definitely. I mean, what is it? Today's Thursday, so we'll get it done this weekend for sure.
Absolutely.
And yeah, man, it's been a fucking awesome time. This has been like a real podcast, man. Like conversation. Yeah. You know,
that's what just, we do. Do you? Are you a listener of Taking the Over?
Yeah, dude. Like, so I'll go tune in to probably any episode that I see that's kind of like controversial or something like that. I'll go click onto it and shit. Or when I'm just stoned in the morning, I'll click on you or OTB, bro. Like, yeah. That's really the only two shows that I listen to when it comes. Oh, I'll scratch that. I got to say, I listen to Raw Room as well with Jalen Collins.
Okay.
Dude, if you ever just looking to laugh hard, bro, in the morning, that's a good one to listen to as well. But other than that, man, like, I don't listen to Joe Rogan that much. Like,
yeah. I've gotten away from him. I mean, I started with him like 10 years ago. Yeah. I've gotten away from him.
Yeah, and it's nothing against him. I love Joe Rogan, but I just don't have the time to really, like, I got to be in a vibe, or like I got to have, you know, some type of history or experience, or, you know, way of getting me to go listen to somebody's, you know, podcast. Bro.
3 hours.
Yeah.
And somebody, and yeah, like I used to be, look, if Joey Diaz is on, I'm listening.
Well, I like Joey Diaz.
I listen to Joey Diaz. Joey Diaz, I've listened to for years. Joey Diaz, I've listened to for probably the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And he is my favorite.
Yeah. I don't listen to Theo's podcast a lot, but I watch all of Theo's clips on YouTube.
I dig Theo a lot. I dig Theo because he's a sobriety guy, you know?
Yeah, man. I'm a
sobriety alcohol guy, you know? So
congrats, man, on that.
Oh,
man,
dude. No,
I follow you with that for sure.
It's just a fucking thing. Yeah. But
I like hearing, you know, people overcome shit like that, you know, because I come from like kind of a broken home type, mm-hmm. you know, my mom always had problems and stuff like that. And still, you know, look, 2021, man, people never get right when they fucked up, bro. It's just facts, man. You gotta be able to like give yourself up to a higher power and understand that, hey, man, you ain't got it all figured out. And I'm a fool of that as well. So,
yeah,
you know, dude, congrats on that, for real.
Well, no, dude, I appreciate that. It's like this. I went hard in my 20s and my 30s, right?
Like, nerd.
And I never really got in trouble. I mean, I got arrested when I was 23. I never even got a DUI. I never got a DWI. You know, but it was too much, you know? And what I've learned, and dude, you turn 40, you turn a corner on 40, and it's like, oh shit. I'm on the back nine, bro. Legit. Yeah, you know, and so you go with nutrition and discipline and like our understanding of things now, I can be in better shape from 40 to 50 than I was from 30 to 40.
Fucking right, bro.
I can be a fucking Terminator from 40 to 50, and I was a fucking oaf from 30 to 40.
Right. Yeah. And
that's the way I look at it. And that's my motivation every day when I get on a bike or go on a walk or fucking eat the right thing, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, man. Cause 40 to 50 is still great years, bro. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, dude. It's a whole circus. You see single fucking app dating in 40 to 50.
It's one thing.
That's to look forward to, buddy. Unless you,
yeah. Yeah. No, I can't. I've already tried enough. You know, I date good looking chicks, but they all like, they fucking drive me nuts, bro. So I don't fuck with chicks while I'm doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, while I'm doing this whole pursuit of chasing a dream and shit like that, I don't need to fuck with no chicks, bro, for real. But
that's actually not bad advice. That's actually not bad advice at all.
I know it, bro. I know for
because you're in a you're in a period of transition. You're in a period of change, right? Like, you're building this brand.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even necessarily say because I'm in a weird scenario of building something from, you know, from scratch and shit. So where I'm at in the whole journey is, you know, I know that I got something. I believe in myself and all that stuff. But, you know, at the same time, I've run into a wall of being a businessman because, you know, I've spent so much money doing this for the last 2 years, you know, just working this as a job,
right?
You know, just hanging in, bro, you know, right. Living in City Park and all this stuff. And it's now come to the point to where, bro, I gotta be ultra creative. I gotta be you know, and it was like this last year, but now more than ever, it's like, bro, if I don't make moves every single day, you know, I'll be coming to you live from City Park for real,
yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
I'll be on the bench in that motherfucker. So that's where I'm at. It's not as necessarily, hey, we building, hold the mayo financially. I'm not no fucking monopoly or whatever, you know, this mega business or nothing like that. I'm a brand, dude. Like,
right.
It's facts, man. You ain't got to put money into that, bro. How am I doing on the business and shit? Fucking terrible. How about that? You know, but as far as like building a brand and getting it out there, dude, better than ever. You know, like better than ever. It's such a weird double-edged sword because, you know, I knew it was going to come to this one day because one person can only do so much, you know.
Didn't you just have a TikTok video that got like hundreds of thousands of views or something?
I'd say it's at 130,000 views.
What is it?
Cracker content of me talking about some crackers. But like to me, that shit's disrespectful to get 130,000 or some shit like that. Like, yeah, that's great.
That's what fucking, we live in Idiocracy now.
Yeah.
Yeah. People just like, want to see like, the fucking Ritz crackers. You know, you've created all this amazing content and it's the fucking Ritz crackers that gets 130,000 views.
Well, and it's just like, and then of course, like to top it all off, you know, cause the struggle, you got a fucking hundreds of people tagging Ritz crackers, bro. You get no response from Ritz crackers, bro.
Nothing from Ritz?
Didn't even send me a roll of crackers.
They should have at least sent you some crackers.
That's why I stopped doing Tombstone, you know, all these things, and went just to Red Beans and Rice Local because I knew, like, hey, look, these franchises, man.
No, they don't care. Tombstone, you know, doesn't. Yeah, Tombstone's like, who's that guy? But yeah, you can help. Yeah. But you, tradition. Tradition is your Monday with Red Beans and Rice. And you,
67.
You film, you go, you get, you film, you document, you publish, you create. Tradition.
Yeah,
at different restaurants locally. How many are you up to now?
So 67 this Monday, all in New Orleans. Let it be known, because people always forget that this is 67 in New Orleans, not Jefferson Parish.
Right.
Like, this is 67 in New Orleans,
dude.
In a row.
And Cooter Browns is the champ.
Cooter Browns, baby, let's go.
Can't beat Cooter Browns.
Hey man, it's a great batch of beans. I don't know how much they charge for them now, but I think when I went, it was like $13.
We used to go there before the Irish Channel Parade, the day of, and eat their red beans.
Oh yeah, dude. Like, imagine getting and that's the thing. Like, I never have gotten washed up or sauced up and went and eat Cooter Brown's red beans. I was sober when I ate those.
Yeah,
but you know, imagine like
back they were like the base for our alcoholism. We were gonna start. Yeah. They were the foundation. Everything went on top of that.
Yeah.
And it was the whole, it was eight hours of walking in a parade and drinking, you know, blackout. Yeah.
They might have the best bar food just in general.
Oh, they're amazing. Everything about Cooter Browns is awesome. I like it.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, dude. So 67 and 69, I'm trying to get into like Visions or something to eat some beans.
I want to say that the strip club in Port Allen, for sure, used to have a lunch buffet. I don't know if they still do. I would imagine in the age of COVID, whatever, that used to be a thing. They had a lunch buffet at the strip club. You just had to cross the river when you were living in Baton Rouge, when you're working in Baton Rouge.
I know where that
is. Yeah. If I've given you a tip on the hotline,
yeah,
that's all I got.
Catch me in Port Allen.
Yeah. Right. You better call first.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Last time I went to Port Allen, I picked up some weed, man. It was some dank, actually. What was it called?
Lucinda. Port Allen's a whole vibe, dude. Port Allen's. I feel better about Port Allen than I do Baton Rouge.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Dude, again, that's all I got. Thank you so much for coming on. It's always a blast. Make sure to check Devin out everywhere he's at. And make sure to, if you're new to this podcast, I know we're bringing in new listeners with the gambling stuff and the news and being, I'm now an actual reporter, Devin. So, you know, if y'all have dealt with us, thanks. Tell a friend. Tell somebody, subscribe to Don't Patrol United, wherever you get your pods, in order to hear Taking the Over every week. Don't Patrol United, where you get a bunch of different good podcasts on one feed. That's it. Devin, say goodnight to all the beautiful people listening to our podcast.
Y'all have a blessed night. Hold it.
And we'll see you all on the other side later. Billy Gunn loves you. Bye.
Fuck!